This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Let me know what you like about the show, any particular guests you've really enjoyed, testimonies that have really spoken to you. Most importantly, let me know how Catholic Sports Radio has helped you in your faith life. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, in the second round of the NHL playoffs, during a morning press conference on a game day, Tampa Bay Lightning coach John Cooper said, quote, "Hope is not a strategy," end quote. And it made me think of the hope that we do have in every new day because of our Heavenly Father. I remember my spiritual director having a conversation with me about people throwing around the expression, "Oh well, I guess it's just part of God's plan." And my spiritual director said, "No, God is the plan. That's the plan. Him. He is the plan." And so while coaches do have to have a game plan and a strategy to execute, even though, as John Cooper said, it isn't hope, we, the faithful in God's church on earth, can count on hope always being there for us. We can rely on God to be our hope as we strive for holiness and to join him in eternity. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the Director of Player Development and Recruiting Coordinator for the Tulane University men's basketball team, a position that he took approximately a year and a half ago after having been special assistant to the head coach at Georgia State. Before that, he served as an assistant coach at Henderson State, which came after a two-year stint at Northwood University, where he finished up as associate head coach. He has also been director of basketball operations at Miami University in Ohio, where he had played for 4 years. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Sean Mock.
How you doing, Bruce? Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. Sean, you seem like a pretty young guy, but after having just read all that, my gosh, were you born with a tiny little basketball in your hands?
Yeah, I've been lucky to kind of travel a lot of different places, and the job has taken me many places. And like I've said to many people before, I've been blessed in a sense that I don't feel like I've ever really had to work, you know, a real job in my life. You know, basketball has always been a big part of, you know, what I do, and it's been able to provide for me and my family for a while now.
Beautiful. Well, in introducing you, I believe that I mentioned five different schools that you worked at. Since you've obviously moved around a lot, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town just north of Cincinnati, Ohio, called Oxford, Ohio. It's actually where Miami University is, which is where I played and coached at for a few years. But like I said, about 45 minutes north of Cincinnati. Been there and was raised there my entire life.
And what did your immediate family look like back there at home in Oxford as you were born and starting to grow up in what sounds like a probably Catholic household?
Yeah, you know, I was born Catholic, cradle Catholic. Both my parents are still together, and you know, they were both Catholics or raised Catholics. So being Catholic has been a huge part of my life and my faith. I have a younger brother and a younger sister who remain active in the faith as well. And just been very lucky to have that as, you know, the root and the foundation of who I am.
So you played high school basketball also, it should come as no surprise, and even won a conference championship. Back in those days, were you thinking, hey, maybe NBA someday, or did you actually already have your sights on getting into coaching at some point down the road?
Yeah, you know, I always knew I wanted to have basketball as part of, you know, what I did. I didn't know if I was good enough to play in the NBA, so that never really got to my head. Obviously, when you're a little kid, you dream of, you know, playing in the NBA. But as I got older, you know, the goal was to get to college and, you know, be part of a, you know, a college basketball team, which, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to do. But I always knew basketball was going to be a big part of, you know, what I did and what I hoped to do. You know, I didn't know what level, I didn't know in what aspect of it. But I knew that I really loved and enjoyed the game.
Well, I wonder, did your faith life take a backseat to the importance that maybe you placed on basketball during your high school and college playing days? Or was it maybe kind of the opposite, and perhaps your faith life helped you with your high school and college basketball play?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was that my faith, and even as I've kind of moved around, my faith has always been the foundation. You know, I always say that it's the one thing in life that is your constant. You know, so many different things are happening, especially in this, you know, crazy world we live in right now, and the climate that I guess 2020 is. You know, it's the one thing that can never be taken away from you. So as I got older and got into, you know, playing in college and realized, you know, what professionally probably wasn't going to be what, you know, what I was going to be able to do as far as playing the game. That was always the foundation. That was always what I could go back on, you know, when I had frustrations or, you know, even as I've moved around a lot for different jobs, that's the one thing that I could always draw back on. You know, no matter how tough life gets, no matter how, you know, frustrating things may be, you know, your faith and, you know, God is always what's going to be there for you. And that's the part that's always I've been able to go back to. And to be honest with you, Bruce, I don't know how I could have done or gotten or dealt with many things without that faith. And I've been very lucky to be able to have that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, this is sort of a two-part question. I wonder, when did you make the decision that you would go into coaching and not try to continue playing somewhere after college? But then also, were you at peace with the decision? Did you maybe see it as a calling, or were you angry that you weren't going to be doing what you loved anymore?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of a funny story because I got done playing. I played for a legendary coach in Charlie Coles. One of the winningest coaches in college basketball, very lucky to play for him. And when I got done playing, he actually asked me if I wanted to join his staff.
Wow.
And at the time I was kind of, you know, burnt out with it. I knew I wanted to coach, but I thought I wanted to coach, you know, high school, you know, inner city high school. You know, kind of, you know, be a teacher. At that point I was getting my graduate degree in history, so I thought I wanted to teach history and coach high school basketball. So I told him no. And then two wow. weeks later, yeah. And 2 weeks later, I went back to him. I said, Coach, I would love to still be able to be part of your staff, but I would rather kind of be in a grad assistant role so I could finish my, you know, my grad degree. So I go through the summer. He ends up hiring, you know, a couple other people on his staff that, you know, one of them is the head coach at Evansville right now, and Ty Licklider, is the head coach at Iowa, before coming to Miami, but he, big time staff. And I go through the summer, and then I start going to classes in the fall, and I realize I'm missing meetings, I'm missing different things because I'm a grad assistant, I'm going to classes still. And I go to him and I say, Coach, I don't want to be a grad assistant anymore. I just want to be around this the entire time. And so I joke and I say I basically went from having a, you know, potentially a full-time job with him to basically a grad assistant to basically volunteering for a year with no money just because I wanted to be around it and just not knowing what I wanted in the beginning. But again, I say that to the faith that I had in God and the trust that I was going to follow his path and what he had for me and maybe not what I even knew I wanted was what I was kind of leaning on there. And I ended up, you know, working out all right for me.
Beautiful testimony. And I want to stop right now to speak to the parents who are listening. And hopefully you're listening with your son or your daughter or your children, plural, with you. Because Sean, what I just heard you say there is that you wanted to pursue your graduate studies. Mm-hmm. And you were already having a vision of teaching in high school and nothing to do with basketball. Mm-hmm. So I've said repeatedly on this show that sports are great and there are so many wonderful benefits to sport. Things like teamwork, things like good sportsmanship, things like physical fitness. And there's no part of my ministry that is trying to discourage people from participating in sports. What I'm trying to do is make sure that we're putting our priorities in the right place and saying sports is not the be-all, end-all. We worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. And so, Sean, I love your story there that you were saying that you were putting your studies ahead of something that you said at the beginning of our interview mm-hmm. was going to be your whole life, basketball. And you said, no, I want to pursue my studies here. And of course, God took over and you saw where you went to that you said you went through that journey yeah. where you ended up basically yeah. volunteering. So God bless you for your openness to that call.
Yeah, I think that so much of it is in a sense, probably cliche and people hear it all the time, but I really try to live by it is basketball is not who I am at all. You know, it's what I do, but it's not who I am. And I've always tried to live by that. And in many ways, it gives you a little bit of foundation because, you know, especially in sport, as you know, Bruce, like every time you go out, there's a winner and there's a loser. So there's so many peaks and valleys and ups and downs that can happen, you know, within sport because, you know, unlike, you know, a lot of professions, every day you're declared a winner or you're declared a loser. Mm-hmm. So there's a 50-50 shot that you're going to have a bad day, you know? So I think that finding what you really are and who you really are as a person and your foundation and your faith and realizing that, you know, God really doesn't care whether you win or you lose. Now he wants you to give your best effort and do the best, you know, use your gifts as he's given you. But that's not who you are. You know, it's what you do and it's how you use his gifts that matter.
Well, and similarly, he doesn't love you more if you are a successful athlete or a successful coach. He doesn't love you more if you're a nurse or a police officer or whatever your job is. He loves us all the same. And that's so beautiful about our faith that you don't have to impress him. There's nothing that you could do that's going to get God to love you more.
Right, right.
Listeners, I want Sean to talk about his faith life, taking it with him through all the different coaching stops that you heard me rattle off when I first introduced him. But before I have him go into that, let me say a proper and formal thank you to everyone who listens every week. I'm thrilled to share with you that August was the best month ever in terms of the number of downloads that the show got. In the ministry moment, I mentioned hope. And for Catholic Sports Radio, one of my hopes always is that this show is helping people in their faith life. And I can tell you that seeing the numbers go up like I did in August gives me encouragement to keep doing what I'm doing week in and week out. As I keep pushing ahead with Catholic Sports Radio, though, there are unfortunately expenses that I have to take on out of my own pocket since I don't have any sponsors and don't get any kind of income from doing this. In fact, there's a number that I think I've given out before. It's 813-854-8000, by the way, where you can call and leave a private voicemail message. Even something like that comes at a cost of, I believe, $13 a month. So if you're able to help out, I would truly appreciate your support of this ministry by way of the Donate to CSR button that you will see on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It allows you to contribute securely online in whatever amount you decide. There's no minimum. And when you go to it, you'll see that there's not even a drop-down list of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you want. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. There have also been folks who have contributed by way of mailing me a check or money order. Just use the contact page on CatholicSportsRadio.net to get in touch, and I will personally write you back with an address that you can send your donation to. Besides that monthly phone cost that I just mentioned, back on episodes 53 through 60, I gave examples of many expenses that your donation helps me with. There was actually another expense too that I talked about on episode 67 with a clarification to it 1 week later on episode 68. You can go back and listen to those to hear the various costs that I was citing. But the bottom line here is that I want to be able to continue to be obedient to God's call and serve him through this show and hopefully help you out in your walk with him. So if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and it is helping with your faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of helping me out through the Donate to CSR button or by sending a check or money order. And incidentally, I haven't said this in a while, but if you donate, I will even give you the option of having me publicly thank you on an upcoming episode and or in social media or keeping it anonymous, whichever you prefer. Sean, go ahead and talk about what I had started to allude to, taking your faith life with you through all the different coaching stops that you've had, because I imagine that in the chaos of changing jobs, changing cities, finding a new place to live each time, it could probably be real easy for someone to get too busy and too distracted to stay in the faith and keep finding new churches to go to.
Yeah. I think that, again, it all goes back to just where's your foundation? And I think that, you know, my wife and I have been married 5 years, and in 5 years of marriage, we've lived in four different places.
Wow.
So we've traveled a lot because of basketball and different jobs. But we always know that through the stress, through the move, through the uncertainties, through the changes in what each job entails, that we're always going to have our faith with us. And that's been something that's been a blessing. Everywhere we've gone, it's been interesting because we've been in rural Arkansas to, you know, downtown Atlanta to now we're in New Orleans to, you know, middle-class America in Midland, Michigan, when we were at Northwood University. So all the, I guess, the churches that the parishes that we've been a part of, it in many ways, they've all been very different. As far as just kind of how they're done and the demographic of them and whatnot. And what I've always enjoyed about, you know, the Catholic Mass is the consistency of it. How everywhere you go is the same. I know that, you know, when I go to Mass in New Orleans, Louisiana, you know, my parents that are, you know, near Cincinnati, Ohio, they're going to that same Mass. They're hearing the same readings. And to me, that's always been something that's, you know, very comforting. You know, so I've always enjoyed that. And then obviously, you know, you talk about the Eucharist, which is, I think, the biggest display of faith that there ever was, to believe and truly believe that, you know, the bread and wine turns into, you know, body and blood, I think is one of the most remarkable gifts that God gives us. And just to have that, knowing that I have that anywhere I go in this world, I think is one of the most beautiful gifts that God gives us.
Beautiful, beautiful. In the lead up to our conversation today, you hinted to me that you even view coaching as a ministry. Talk about that.
Yeah. You know, I'll, being able to work on many different staffs, you know, I've been able to work with many different people. And there's a lady that, you know, I call her Mama Duck. She's the wife of a longtime coach, Rick Duckett, who I worked with at Miami. And it was when I was first starting to get into coaching, I think it was my second or third year. And I was struggling with, is this really what I want to do? Is this my calling? Like, should I be doing something that, you know, what I thought was more God's hands on earth type thing. And she told me, and she said, baby, she's a Southern woman. She said, baby, don't you ever forget that what you do is a ministry. And if you do, God help you. And that's always kind of stuck with me because I think that, you know, not just in coaching, but in any part of life, you know, God puts people in front of you at any given moment at any different time. And it's your job to be his hands on earth. It's your job to be, you know, to do his work. You know, somebody once told me that as a person, you may be the only Bible somebody ever reads. So you have to be ready. When that comes, that time comes, you have to be ready. So I think just having the opportunity to coach and having, you know, young men that are growing up to be, you know, young men, you know, that you're around all the time. There's so many different times that they come into your office. There's so many different times that you're talking to them on the court where, you know, that time is going to present itself. And, you know, you pray and you hope that, you know, God's given you the ability to be ready for that. So you're able to minister to them and kind of help them through whatever they may be going through.
Well, and I'm also thinking that it could be a ministry for a coach at any sport, at any school, at any age. And what I'm picturing in my head is a player who chooses to go to an older coach because maybe they view him as a father figure,
yep.
or someone who goes to Sean because they say, well, Sean's younger, Sean can relate.
Yeah.
They look at Sean as a brother. They look at Sean as a friend.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to be able to minister as a coach just in different ways.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And I think that, again, like you said, Bruce, is there's so many different ways. And I think two things. One, you have to be ready. You know, you have to, you know, continue to educate yourself, continue to pray, continue to, you know what God wants you to say. But then you also have to be open to letting him say what, you know, what he wants to say. And many times, you know, that may be uncomfortable. That may be a tough conversation. But what I've found out that, you know, even as I played, you know, the teams that are the most vulnerable with each other, the teams that open up with each other, teams that are able to have those tough conversations are typically the teams that are the closest. And I think that, again, that's how, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And I think sometimes, you know, we got to break down and have those conversations and just be, and that's how we become closer. And that's, you know, I think where God really does his work.
So let's back up to something that you almost started to say a few minutes ago, which was you wondered, should you be doing something that more closely resembles God's work on earth? And you confided in me in the lead up to today, something that you've struggled with as it relates to potentially moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that, you know, when I was in college, and I know you asked me this earlier, Bruce, you said, you know, did I always have dreams of, you know, playing and coaching and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Originally I wanted to do social work and I wanted to kind of be in the inner cities and working with at-risk youth.
Wow.
But you know, again, I think God calls you in many different ways. And to be honest with you, you know, right now, again, my heart's in basketball. I love basketball and it's been able to, you know, do many things. But I think it's, like I said, you got to always remember it's a ministry. And, you know, obviously, especially college athletics, you know, the job security isn't always the best. And if you don't win, you get fired. And people ask, you know, do you ever get nervous? What else would you do? And again, just I've been lucky to have many different mentors. And I go back to a conversation I had when I first got into coaching, a guy by the name of Jason Brunkemeyer, who was an assistant, very, very strong faith. I know some people on your show have been coached by him as well. But I asked him, I said, how do you go about this business and this job and not knowing what's going to happen? And he looked at me and he said, God has always taken care of me. Why would he stop now? Mm. And that's kind of what I've always gone with is I don't know what else I would do. I don't know. I have no idea, but I try not to worry about it because I know God has always taken care of me and he always will.
So share with the audience where you have told me that your heart is ministry-wise.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've always had a heart for the poor. I've always had a heart for, you know, youth. And I think that, again, basketball, at least the youth part, you know, has been able to allow me to kind of address that. I think that, at least for me, you know, when I was, you know, going from high school to college and even my later years in college, you know, I think that's really a, you know, where you start forming who you are and who you're going to be as a young man. And I think that's such a sweet spot for people that, you know, be influenced by, you know, what they want to be and who they want to be, whether it be a father, a brother, a husband. And I think that is the part of coaching I think that I enjoy the most is not the basketball part, not the, you know, how many points you score, how many rebounds you get, but when they come in the office and they tell you, hey, I just want to talk to you. What do you got to say about this? I know you've been through this. And again, some of my favorite times are when guys just come in the office and they don't have anything to say. They just sit down there and they'll be there. You look up and they've been there an hour and a half and you're like, we haven't even, like, what are you here for? What do you want to talk about? Wow. I just want to hang out. And I think that's the special part.
So I want to stop here and reflect on, I talked before with the parents and saying, make sure that your children are aware of this. But again, similarly, maybe Sean, maybe your heart is being prepared for where you said it already lies. You know, maybe the Lord is saying there's going to be a time for you to work directly with youth. But right now I want to prepare you and prepare your heart to do that kind of work through coaching.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like we said, you know, God works in mysterious ways. My wife and I joke all the time that who would have thought in 5 years of marriage that we've lived in Arkansas, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio, New Orleans. And I think that, like you said, there's always a reason for it. And I think that journey, you know, God just, you got to trust God and just with open arms, just follow him and realize, you know what, it's in my control, but ultimately it really isn't in my control.
So let's wrap up. You've mentioned your wife a couple times. I think you said that the two of you have been married for 5 years. Let's just wrap up and have you share with the audience what parish you belong to. And since Hurricane Laura just went through, presumably the two of you are safe and were not affected by that?
Yeah, no, we are safe. The hurricane hit about 200 miles west of us. Obviously, you know, it hit pretty hard in the Lake Charles area. So, you know, we pray for those people. But we were very fortunate with that. Andrea is her name, and we've been married for 5 years, and she has, you know, been my rock with, you know, helping me with my faith and just being there for me and kind of being that person that's just able to just roll with the punches. Currently we're members of Blessed Trinity Parish in New Orleans. You know, we've been very lucky to be with them, and, you know, we've enjoyed, you know, our time with them.
Outstanding. Well, Sean, thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your wife and the work that you're doing with the student athletes at Tulane.
Thanks, Bruce. I really appreciate it.
You bet. And listeners, as always, let's close with a prayer. And of course, we'll do this together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 2 Timothy, endure hardship, fulfill your ministry. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. Lord, help me remember you are always with me, especially during tough times in my life. Remind me that your trials are for my benefit and that you use time to build me up, to make me stronger. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.